Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode of the Eurotrip is brought to you by the new Malmö Hagen Eurovision pre-party, coming to you live from Copenhagen on Saturday the 4th of May.
Taking place only a bridge away from this year's host city, the event will be the ultimate warm-up show to a huge week of Eurovision action.
Join Eurovision winner Emily DeForest, the class of 2024, live Euroclub DJs and other iconic stars for 10 hours of fun and games, including a quiz and karaoke contest on the festival stage and the pre-show Scandinavian songbook on the main LED stage.
And unique to the existing pre-party tour, you'll also be able to vote for your 2024 winner live before partying the night away until 5 a.m.
You can find out more and book your tickets via the link in the description for today's episode, or head to billetto.dk, that's billetto.dk, and search for Malmö Hagen.
The Eurotrip, when I read that, I was immediately thinking of the movie. Do you know the movie?
Hi, I'm Leanne.
Hello, Leanne. Leanne, are you a Eurotrip podcast listener?
I am, yes. I should say, I met some Eurotrip fans here. I was chatting with people outside the entrance, and they said, oh, are you Bella Kvist? And I said, yeah. I know you're from the Eurotrip.
What did you have for breakfast?
It was last night. I did not have a kebab for breakfast.
Queen Loreen, Eurovision winner. Did you ever think you would be back here again?
I get goosebumps. No way!
Martin Osterdahl, Executive Supervisor of the Eurovision Song Contest. Welcome to the Eurotrip.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, I think it is, right?
Hello and welcome to the Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast. This week, just with me, James. Rob is still away in Iceland on his honeymoon, but I still have plenty of bits and pieces on today's episode, including Austria's representative at the contest this year, Colleen. Now, Colleen has often been the bridesmaid and never the bride when it comes to Eurovision. You may have already seen her in some stand-in rehearsals from over the years, perhaps most notably when she stood in for Eleni Ferreira and nailed the vocals and the dance routine of Fuego back in 2018. Well, this year, she takes centre stage and will perform the infectious We Will Rave in Malmö. We'll be chatting to her all about it today. Not only that, but the traditional pre-party season has come to an end. Of course, there is still one to come in Copenhagen on the eve of the contest, but at the weekend, the annual visit to Amsterdam happened on Saturday, and one man who was there was GJ Koyman. He'll be giving us an inside line on everything that went down there. Plus, we continue our march to Malmö. I'll be chatting to Jonas Gilberg, a journalist in the city, who will get us up to speed on what's been happening with just 3 weeks to go. So we've got all that and more to come. You're listening on Acast, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. This is the Eurotrip. So yes, as I say, just James with you this week. Rob will return next week when he is back from his honeymoon in Iceland. I'm not sure if you follow him on social media, by the way, but he's been posting some great pictures from his visit, and it all looks so spectacular. Sadly, though, I heard from Rob earlier in the week, and he said that his whale-watching trip in Húsavík was cancelled because of the bad weather, which is a huge shame. But a few weeks ago, I think I joked that he might end up bumping into somebody Eurovision-related while out there in Iceland. I haven't heard that it's happened just yet, but we did get an email from listener Matt a couple of weeks ago. So forgive me for only reading this out now, but he sent us an email to hello@eurotrippodcast.com and said, "Hello guys, love the podcast. It keeps me sane during my longer work days. Just to say, Rob may indeed bump into a Eurovision celebrity in Iceland. I lived there whilst doing some PhD field work, and one day, whilst chilling in a geothermal pool in Reykjavik," can't say that in many places, can you? "My new Icelandic friend told me to turn around, and there was Sylvia Knight, the now iconic Icelandic entry from 2006. So keep your eyes peeled." Yeah, wow. I do wonder, Matt, by the way, was Sylvia in the same geothermal pool as you were? Or was she just a passerby? You'll have to let me know. Keep your messages coming in, either on email or across Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and whatnot. We are at Eurotrip Podcast. Here's a message we got from Nick. Nick said, "Hey, James and Rob. First of all, I'd like to say thanks for your outstanding content this Eurovision season. Very kind. Thanks very much. Also, I have a contribution for Eurovision Songs in the Wild. Here we go again. I heard Ollie Alexander's Dizzy in a Uniqlo in Sydney this week. I know it's not especially random, but hearing Eurovision songs around in Australia is sadly rare. So this was quite exciting. Thanks again from Nick in Sydney." Yeah, very kind. Thanks, Nick. To be fair, I wouldn't even consider that to be especially random because I don't think he's charted yet in Australia, has he? So definitely odd to be hearing it whilst out shopping. Now, I'm going to cross my fingers for a moment because as I was just saying all of that, I've had a message from Rob, literally just as I was reading it all out, to say, "I've sent you a voice note. I know you're probably recording today. Don't worry if it's too late." I don't know why he hasn't just sent it on WhatsApp, whatever, but he's emailed it. And the subject line in the email is "Eurovision Song in the Wild Submission." And it's from Rob. So I'm hoping this is him giving us an update on him hearing a Eurovision song out in the wild whilst out in Iceland. So let's have a listen.
"Hello, James. Rob here. Remember me? I used to do a podcast with you. Welcome to Akureyri, the second biggest city in Iceland. It's at the very top of Iceland, about 100 miles from the Arctic Circle. I just wanted to get in touch to say, very, very excited to be back on the podcast with you next week. Looking forward to it. And B, I have a couple of Eurovision Song in the Wild submissions for you, which is very, very exciting. So the first one, we were having breakfast in our hotel in the south of Iceland, and I was delighted to hear that the hotel appeared to be playing a playlist of songs entirely by your friend of mine, Sam Ryder. So Sam Ryder and Spaceman was playing as I was enjoying the breakfast buffet, getting myself a few pancakes, because who doesn't love a mini pancake from a breakfast buffet? And then the second one is a more current one. So we were in the car driving here to Akureyri, so going through the remote mountains of northern Iceland, listening to one of Iceland's biggest radio stations. What did I hear? Ollie Alexander and Dizzy, the UK's entry for Eurovision 2024. It appears that they are very much enjoying the song here in Iceland. Those are my two submissions for you. As I said, very excited to be back on the podcast next week. In the meantime, I'm going husky sledding today, so hopefully I return in one piece. I'm sure I'll have a lovely time, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
I mean, honestly, it does sound scripted, like I've just tried to plan that, but honestly, that is so just by chance. So there you go. Two people in the space of a week, not in the UK, one in Australia and one in Iceland, have heard Dizzy by Ollie Alexander just out in the wild. Perhaps it's getting more airplay than we first imagined. But there you go. Nice to hear from Rob as well. He'll be joining us later as well, because he is the one who's been chatting to Colleen. Now, maybe you've heard one of this year's Eurovision songs out and about when you were least expecting it, or maybe finally, Eurovision Songs in the Wild has come to an end. I hope not, because I still like to hear them. Keep them coming in on socials or on the email. Now it is time for all the latest Eurovision news. And just like last week, there is only one big story. And it involves pre-parties, because pre-party, as I just mentioned, sort of came to an end, at least the traditional pre-party season did, over the weekend. And one of those parties was in Amsterdam. And somebody who was there was GJ Koyman from the Ding It Dong Eurovision podcast. And he is with us right now to tell us more about it. Hello, GJ.
Hey. Of course, Amsterdam was the biggest pre-party this year in terms of not only audience size, but also getting the amount of acts. 28 out of 37 acts ended up going to Amsterdam because of the fatigue that happens during Eurovision pre-party season, decided to save their voice and stamina for Malmö, which I think was wise. But yeah, it's big. It's the biggest one, you know, seeing it grow from 600 people only 10 years ago to 6,000 people now, and having a nonprofit organization built out of fans and volunteers organize such a massive event to celebrate this year's class was, I think, an amazing feat.
Because one of the things about Amsterdam is the fact that this is kind of like the biggest warm-up for Eurovision, right? Because of just how big it is, for not only for the fans, but for the artists to be on a stage that big with a crowd that big. This is the biggest warm-up, right?
It is the biggest warm-up. And what I think is really great about it as well is because it holds a crowd of 6,000 in a serious concert venue, it also attracts a lot of, I would say, more general audience. What I'm noticing, because we were standing more towards the back near where the soundboard was to really get a sense of how they were performing in the sound scape as well, is you see a lot of people who may have only heard our Dutch entry or are just interested in Eurovision but haven't completely delved into all 37 songs competing. And that's their first reaction to hearing the songs, and they immediately get to hear them live. So it's also, I think, a great idea for the artists to not only end on that high of doing it on the biggest stage possible, but also gauging how does a general audience feel that haven't heard these songs before, and will I be able to, you know, get them on board with what I've composed.
And how was Joost Klein then?
Well, Joost traditionally got the slot that we expect because we are a little bit, you know, proud of our own country. So he got to go last. Mm. I think expectations were high. He had not joined any of the previous pre-parties. As he told us, he was still fully committed to finishing the act for Malmö up to the last deadline. I wanted to focus on that. But he, I think, blew everyone away. I think what was really great is that everyone was anticipating him coming on. He did something really funny in his own brand style of humor, where the visuals actually played with some of the traditions that Eurovision are part of it. While, you know, the intro welcomed not only all the fans and everyone, but also said hello to the bookmakers. he had a slide in there at a certain point that says, "These are not my visuals. Please, for them, come see my show on May 9th when a semifinal is happening." Those kinds of little in-jokes in there, playing with his humor, playing against the conventions of what a Eurovision artist is and isn't allowed to do when promoting yourself, was really fun. He was energetic. He was very clear in his pronunciation. And what was also really great is something that has obviously been discussed a lot, is that will that very powerful emotional outro be in it? A shorter version of it was in there. So this was the first time we were able to see that package live, and it really packed a punch. And to just see how he exploded on that stage, especially coming after a couple of acts that are also that explosive, because I think that's been something that, you know, we've been looking at with a couple of the high energy acts this year. How will they look and feel when they are combined together? Because we've now been looking at them separately. And I think a lot of them still stood their ground, stood out, and actually amplified each other instead of distracting from each other. So that was great.
And do you think he still has a chance to stand out? Because it is a unique song. It is a style that, you know, we haven't seen at Eurovision a lot lately. Does he still stand out in a live setting?
I think he definitely stands out. I think his brand of using the Dutch language, being able to really enforce also, you know, name-checking a lot of countries and cities, also having a very catchy chorus, but also really engaging with the crowd. And it really feels, if we look at what he did a month ago, where he had his own concert, where he premiered a live version, to what he did the night after in Sweden, where the last of the traditional pre-parties was this year. It feels very organic and very that he hasn't settled into a too slick of a choreography or rehearsed performance. And I think that's what's going to carry him away. But I do have to say, I love the fact that this year has come to a point where we have a couple of favorites. We don't know which way this is going, but Joost definitely still has a path to win.
There's a couple of other artists I want to ask you about, and then I'll ask for some more of your standouts, perhaps, from the weekend. Yeah. Ollie Alexander, there was some debate from his performance in London where it wasn't quite what people were expecting. He was on stage in Amsterdam. I think he had a bit of a mic problem, but it still put in a great performance, right?
Ollie put in a great performance. Ollie was in great spirits also in the afternoon for the press event, really also engaging with a lot of the other artists. I think Ollie did really well. I think, you know, at these pre-parties, a lot of, you know, factors come into it that we as an audience are not aware of. Yes, the mic did drop out for a little bit, but that can have so many, you know, causes happening. It could be a battery mic. It could be something on the same wavelength in terms of technical. But he immediately picked it back up. And you can tell that he's so comfortable on that stage. But I do think that what may have to take in consideration for Ollie is that Ollie, that of course started out with years and years as a band with a band behind him, and then for the last couple of years all of his performances have really featured a lot of dancers and visual elements and sitting next to him created by Theo Adams, and now this is basically him just with two backup singers where none of those elements are there. So I think that might be some of the, you know, discovery process that we're seeing on this stage and won't translate to what clearly we're going to be seeing in Malmo, where all those things will be there. But I think vocally, he, you know, after such a mishap, really was on point. He was clearly enjoying it. And, you know, I'm still saying the UK for the last 2 years have had a trick up their sleeve when it comes to going to the first rehearsal. You know, we had the guitar solo from Sam. We had the spoken word part of May. They're not showing everything yet. And I'm very excited to see what Ollie and team has, you know, been cooking up, because I think that will surprise.
Yeah, something tells me we haven't quite seen everything from Ollie yet, so we'll just have to wait for rehearsals. Let me ask you about Georgia, because we were joined by Connor from the Eurovision podcast last week, and he said Georgia from the London Eurovision party was a bit of a dark horse. He wasn't quite expecting such a strong performance from Georgia. What did you think from her performance on Saturday?
Actually, fun fact, she was able to open the show. She was the first act performing at Eurovision in concert. I think it really set the tone really well. I think it's a strong vocal performance. I think, you know, she's really clearly finding her way with how she wants to tell this story and do it vocally. She's there. You know, there's clearly a lot of stage presence there, and I think it will stand out. Will it be unique enough in the composition of the song? That is still something where I'm not able to give you a definitive answer yet, but I do think she's really, you know, shown what she's capable of, and having to open the show like that and really setting the bar high, that was a tough thing to do, and she truly delivered.
Okay, there's 25 other acts that we haven't talked about. I don't think we'll be able to have time to chat about them all.
No.
But pick out one or two for me that we haven't mentioned so far. Perhaps some standouts, perhaps some surprise performers that you saw on Saturday. What stood out for you, Gigi?
I think one that really stood out for me was Slovenia, Raven with Veronica. Just the way that was done, the way she held the notes, the way she was moving on stage. You know, I think sometimes with female performers, we look at choreography as the bar of how well they'll perform. I think she just has a really great stage presence doing what she does in her lane, and I think it really delivered on that part. So I think that was one of my real big standouts on that. Another big standout for me was Musti from Belgium. I think over the pre-parties we've seen also, you know, there was been a lot of feedback from fans and fan media about how the performance that he was giving was coming across, and that sometimes it may be distracted from the power of the song. And it felt like Saturday in Amsterdam, he had taken some of that feedback on board and applied it in his own way. I think that's something that we also spoke to Aiko from Czechia about, is these pre-parties are also a great way of looking back at what you're doing on that stage and applying that to how your presence and your vocal is on stage. And it can be trial and error, but you have to apply it in your own way and don't take all the critiques on board, but I have to apply it what feels well to you. And that's really what he did. And the same goes for France. Of course, we have the standout moment where, you know, he will do a part a cappella with the mic further away. This time there was no mic stand. He got down on the ground, was kind of kneeling down, moved the mic away, and it felt more, therefore, more genuine and back to the raw emotion of the song, which I really appreciate. And I think for that performance of France, we really have to keep in mind that it got our entire audience to be silent and just be mesmerized by it, because for a lot of them, it was the first time seeing it. We as fans have the benefit of seeing all those pre-parties. So certain tricks that artists will be pulling out of the bag, we've seen 10 times, but a general audience that will be voting, you know, in May, will see it for the first time. And I think we'll be absolutely mesmerized by it.
Yeah, we often talk about a moment in a Eurovision performance, don't we? And for France, that is certainly a moment. Big night on Saturday, of course, but also a big day for you on Sunday. We should mention award winner for GJ and the Ding A Dong podcast, right?
Yes, me and my co-host Marco, we have hosted the Dutch Eurovision podcast Ding A Dong for over 6 seasons, 5.5 years now. And we won the EA Award 2023, which is an award given to initiatives or persons who contribute positively to having Eurovision, you know, contributing to the Eurovision positive image in the media. You know, Sietse Bakker has won it in the past. The Eurovision in Concert has won it. Our Dutch commentators and heads of the selection committee have won it in the past. So it's a really big honor as you know, a fan media to get that award and to contribute to the positive way of our listeners learning about Eurovision. You know, we do, just like you guys, interviews with heads of delegation, heads of contests, people who work on the contest to explain more about how things are done. But also we, you know, have a lot of different opinions on our podcast. A lot of our listeners get to chime in. So, because we always say we have our opinion, but it's definitely not the definitive one. So if people disagree with us, we welcome that on board. And that's been a lot of fun to be able to do that. And on the other hand, being able to talk to a lot of the artists from this year about telling their stories. So yeah, it's a big award to win and we're very proud of it.
It's thoroughly well-deserved. Very, very well done. And what about for the future then? You'll be in Malmö, I presume. What are your plans?
Our plans for Malmö are, I think, you know, we're going to do what we do every year, try and tell the stories also behind the contest. So talk to people who work on the contest. For example, we've spoken to the head of contest for the last 3 contests. And if you listen back to that interview last year, he debunked, I think, about 90% of all the conspiracy theories that fans have about how the running order for the final is made. What things he takes into consideration. And those are really the fun stories that fans who may just visit a show or just watch at home don't get. So I think we're doing that. We're going to be diving into what Malmö will bring to the contest. And I think there'll also be a lot of terrible puns coming our way. And we'll be looking to find also, we are also still looking for the winner of our Angela Peristeri Award 2024, which is the award we hand out each year in the podcast as a joke to the most misheard lyric in a Eurovision song of that year.
Oh, okay. That is a good one. So if people are listening now and they've got some submissions, they can get in touch with you and potentially could win them an award.
Definitely. Put them in at Eurovision Podcast on Instagram. I have to say right now, Sylvester Belt with Luke Telk is taking the lead in terms of nominations. But I think that has to be doing because Lithuanian language is very similar to Dutch in terms of sounds. But we also welcome English submissions. So if you've heard or misheard a lyric that you think, what is happening here? Send it into our podcast because we hand out the Angela Peristeri Award every year for that.
Oh, perfect. I'm just going to have to go and listen to the entire playlist this afternoon and see what sticks out.
Let's see what sticks out. And yeah, you know what? It's going to be an exciting year this year. We don't know 8 out of 10 stagings yet for people that are, you know, in the top for the bookmakers. And I think it's going to be a very open year. It could be a year where all the favorites will, you know, either score high and low with juries. Therefore, a very consistent medium scorer might end up taking it by surprise. And on the other hand, I think something that we really have to remind ourselves of, Måneskin at this point was 7th in the odds when it came to Rotterdam. And a lot changed once they got on that first stage. And this is going to be an exciting year. And as a fan of the contest, that is truly, I think, the exciting thing to see such an unpredictable year happen.
Oh, it's a great time to be a Eurovision fan. This far out, and we still don't know what's going to happen. It's still so open. Oh, GJ, it's been great to catch up, and I'm sure we'll catch up again in Malmö in a few weeks' time.
Let's do it.
Awesome. Thanks, GJ.
You're welcome.
Hiya loves, it's me, Danny Beard off the telly.
And I'm DJ Billy Andrew.
And we are the Gossip Gaze podcast. And here we like to celebrate your dirty dilemmas, your queer confessions, and basically your daily filth.
Remember when that guy got in touch and told us about the time he his or the listener who got caught?
Oh, well, I was kind of into that one then.
Yeah, I know you were.
Yeah, so we're here, we're queer, and we're always whispering gossip straight into your ear.
Listen to The Gossip Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gossip Gaze.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to the Eurotrip. Thanks for joining me this week. Exciting news to update you on, by the way. Should have mentioned this earlier, but our media accreditation has finally been approved for Malmö, so I'm pleased to say that the Eurotrip will be there on the ground in the host city this year. We'll be in the arena, the press centre, basically everywhere we can get to in order to bring you the best coverage of Eurovision possible this year. It'll be our third year now, won't it, covering the event in the host city after Liverpool last year and Turin in 2022. So let us know what you want from our coverage. After all, we're making it for you. So if you want to hear something or if you want us to try and speak to somebody, let us know. We'll do our best. Of course, one of those days during that week, or at least an hour or so, on the Thursday, we'll be at the Eurofan Cafe in the Eurovision Village for our live event, the Eurotrip Live. Free tickets are still available for this. Rob and I will be there for a special live recording of the podcast. It is on Thursday, the 9th of May at 1 p.m. in the Eurofan Cafe in the Eurovision Village in Malmö. You can be there for free, as I say, absolutely free. You don't have to spend a penny. Just grab yourself a ticket via the link in the episode description. You'll have a chance as well to submit a question when you grab yourself a ticket. So if there's something you want to ask us or if there's something you want to know, let us know when you grab your free ticket. Speaking of Malmö, it's time for this. Yes, this is the March to Malmö, our weekly pilgrimage to the host city of Eurovision 2024. Last week, we didn't quite get there, did we? Instead, we stopped off in Copenhagen for a chat about the brand new pre-party, which is taking place on the 4th of May. But this week, we've crossed the bridge and we've arrived in Malmö itself for a chat with Jonas Gilberg. He's a journalist at Sydsvenskan, Malmö and southern Sweden's biggest newspaper. Now, as I'm sure you'll be aware, there's a lot of opposition to the contest taking place this year, largely due to the growing movement of people calling on the EBU to remove Israel and its broadcaster Khan from the competition. There's protests being planned and many artists pulling out of agreements to perform in the city during Eurovision week itself. So I thought it was important to chat to Jonas about all of this, as well as focusing on the executive producer of the contest this year, who was born and raised in Malmö and now returns to her hometown to produce the entire show. So this is what happened when I caught up with Jonas earlier on in the week. I mean, to kick off then, a really difficult question, so prepare yourself, but what's the weather like in Malmö today?
It's pretty good. It's been a quite windy but sunny weekend, and today pretty much like that too.
Is the weather getting warmer? That's the big question, because almost every week we've spoken to somebody. It's still been a bit cold. It's still been a bit rainy and wet, but it is getting warmer as we all prepare to come.
Last week, the weathermen said that it's it's actually summer in Malmö right now when it comes to the degrees and how many days in a row that it has been above 10 degrees. So, yeah, it's getting warmer and it's sure.
That is good news. For us who are going to be heading out in a few weeks' time, that is very good news. What is the buzz like in the city at the moment? Because it is only a few weeks to go now, isn't it, until till thousands of people end up travelling to Malmö. Can you feel the buzz of Eurovision yet?
Absolutely, in one way. I mean, you can see some signs of it on the streets because things are happening. But the big changes haven't happened yet. The big buzz right now is, of course, the most the toughest question, about the protests and Israel's be or be not in the competition, and the safety that comes with that issue.
I think it's worth us chatting a little bit about that, because it is obviously a big story, and it has been over the last few months in the run-up to the contest. Can you give us a bit of an idea about where we are with some of these protests and whatnot at the moment? Because there are some protests that are planned for the week of Eurovision, aren't there?
Yeah, there is. In Malmö, which is a very, very diverse city, lots of people with a background from Palestine, but also lots of Jews. There's been protests on a weekly, I would say maybe on a daily basis, if we count the smaller protests, when it comes to the whole issue. The big issue is right now, I would say, is that we see a movement called BDS. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but the boycott, disinvest, sanctions, now trying to influence people to boycott the Eurovision. And they are pretty successful right now. So we have seen quite many artists who were booked for the scenes in Eurovision Village who now changed their minds, are not going to perform. We don't really know right now what's going to happen in Eurovision Village this week, as it is right now.
Obviously, this is a huge debate that isn't just happening in Malmö or Sweden, but this kind of conversation is happening everywhere, and obviously it's a serious conversation to be having. But in terms of Eurovision and in terms of Malmö, it's dominating the conversation a bit, isn't it? So from Malmö's point of view as a city, it's difficult to try and remove yourself from that situation. But for Malmö as a city, it must be overshadowing their attempts to try and put themselves on the map.
It is. I've been talking to a lot of people in the center of this. One person said the other day that it's 80% safety right now and 20% fun. And I think that's a bit like what it's like in the Malmö right now. I would actually say that the number 20 is decreasing by the day right now, because it's being more and more intense. So it's sad, of course, for the Eurovision. What can I say?
Shall we focus on something a little bit lighter, in that you spoke to the executive producer of this year's contest, who herself is from Malmö as well. What was it like to meet her, and how do you think she's feeling just a few weeks away from possibly her biggest job she's ever had?
Well, Ebba Adielsson is the executive producer for SVT. She's born here in Malmö, but moved from here when she was maybe 19. So she has been 30 years around the world and in Stockholm. So it was that kind of article that I wrote. She's coming home to do the biggest TV competition in the world in her old hometown. We were talking quite a lot about her history and how she got where she is, but also about what will she be feeling if Marcus and Martinez is in the lead with few minutes left to go on the voting, and she knows that. Is it me that is going to do this next year again?
In terms of...
And one fun thing,
Oh, yeah, please.
There are two executive producers for SVT, two women. Both are from Malmö, and both went to the same school at the exact same time.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. Were they friends in school,
They weren't very good friends, no. They got friends when they came to university.
Right.
They became friends.
and the stars have aligned to bring them back together for Eurovision. Jonas, before you go, we always finish with our guests to get a Swedish word or a Swedish phrase that might be perhaps might be useful or it might be a little bit of fun. So what have you got for us this week?
Well, you know what? 2 years ago, my newspaper did this voting about our readers' favorite words in Scanian.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about the southern dialect here in Malmö.
Yes.
And the number one word for our readers was a classic insult in Scanian. That's comparable to, like, say, "Oh, you idiot." So I think if you imagine yourself, you're walking down Eurovision Street, because there's a Eurovision Street here in Malmö. I don't know if you have learned about that. And you hear somebody sing maybe one of your British favorite songs, like "Making Your Mind Up" or something, with the wrong lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you feel, what is this person doing, you know? And then you say, "Fubik."
Ah.
So "fubik" is a classic Scanian insult. It's so vernacular, so it's pretty cute, actually, also to say it. So
yeah.
It's not like it's something that people will hit you in the head for. But so maybe that's something that you could be using.
We could be. I was going to say, if we end up hearing it, clearly we haven't done something right. So it's worth knowing at least, isn't it? Jonas, thanks very much for your time. Really appreciate it. And maybe we'll see you out and about in Malmö in a few weeks' time.
Yep. Thank you.
You're listening to The Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast.
Now, I know what you're thinking, because I'm thinking it too. Yes, we did have that as a recommended word a few weeks ago, but honestly, I totally forgot. Honestly, I definitely recognised it, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. You probably heard it in my voice, where I was like, yes. But I just couldn't work out where I'd heard it. I should have put two and two together, so please forgive me. But I guess perhaps it shows it's quite a common word, maybe? Still, fingers crossed, nobody ends up shouting it to you if you're out and about in Malmö in a few weeks' time. Anyway, shall we chat to Colleen? Because I think we should. After years of being a stand-in artist, doing creative stuff off the stage at Eurovision as well, she's finally taking centre stage herself. Her song, "We Will Rave," that she is going to be performing for Austria, is written by a whole host of songwriters from Sweden, Anders Rettov, Jimmy Joker, Killjay, some of those names you might recognise, especially if you're a Melfest fan. She'll tell us how that song came about, plus, of course, what it's like to be the main artist this year. So here's what happened when Rob caught up with her just before he flew off to Iceland.
So, Colleen, welcome to the Eurotrip.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I suppose first question for me, Colleen, is, has Eurovision 2024 been everything you expected?
That's such a good question, actually. Yes, I think so. I'm really grateful for everything that's happening. Probably also one thing I did not expect was such a truly warm welcome, although I know the community and I know that that's what the community is like, but that, and there's just so much positivity also regarding my song. I really, really appreciate that. And I feel a little spoiled.
What's it like, you know, finally being in the position that you're in as Austria's representative for the Eurovision Song Contest? Obviously, you've done so many different roles within Eurovision and Junior Eurovision, which we'll talk about. But but finally having the ticket and being front and center for Austria this year must be incredibly special.
It is very, very special. It is a dream come true. And sometimes I do find moments in between where I'm like, oh, is this really happening? Because also everything goes so fast. Time just passes so fast now. And so many things are happening. So the moments are rare, but I do have the feeling sometimes like, wow, okay, this is my life now. I've always wanted this and now I actually get to experience it. Sometimes it does still feel like a dream, but it's just amazing. And of course, being able to make decisions for myself now, being able to, be on the other side of the camera and kind of having maybe advantages just for myself, not like competition-wise, but just because I know, okay, that's the process. And I know exactly why this is helping me later and just things like that. So it's an all-in experience, definitely.
I mean, if we just talk about some of your previous roles, and I will definitely miss some. So I know you've been kind of like a stand-in singer. Everyone will have seen that incredible video of you doing Fuego from 2018.
Yeah.
Presumably that's all everyone ever talks to you about.
But I do get it. And it's such a fun process also at Eurovision that probably not everyone knows about, but it's so important for the the finished product that we have and that we all see. And therefore, it's a really, really fun thing to do. So if anyone ever has the chance to do a stand-in job, do it. It's very, very fun.
You never know what it might result in. I mean, look at you now, 6 years later, I guess.
Exactly. And I do feel like being on that stage at that moment, performing all of those songs, I feel like that's when the dream was actually born, to be on the Eurovision stage one day.
How difficult is it, I suppose, that role as a stand-in singer? Because presumably, have you got to learn multiple songs, multiple choreographies, so that the delegations get to see how it obviously works on stage and how it looks and stuff? So actually, harder than being... I was going to say harder than being the entry, but that's not true. But it's very hard.
Yeah, well, usually it's like a group of, I'd say, 15 to 20 people or less, maybe 10 to 15. And mostly dancers. I don't know if they still do the live singing part, which we did back then. And I feel like I did 6 or 7 countries as a lead artist. So yeah, you learn the songs, which I don't think that's the hardest part. Sometimes the hard part is learning to sing in another language, which I also did. I did Hvalane. So I learned all the lyrics to that song by heart because I can't speak Slovenian. I did Serbia also that year. So that's really interesting then. And probably even funnier for the people from that country to listen back to my stand-in version, not knowing what I actually sing about, but just trying. And then, of course, doing the choreography and being on that stage, seeing like this empty arena with still cameras, lights and everything already set up. And being the first one to perform the song on that stage and experiencing if things work, if things don't work, like with props, for example, if camera transitions work or not, it's all part of the process. So it's very, very interesting.
And that's only one of the things you've done at Eurovision and Junior Eurovision. You know, you've been a stand-in singer. I'm definitely going to miss some bits. I know you've been sort of creative director before. You've done choreography before. There's probably other stuff that I've not mentioned as well.
Yeah, I've been stage directing also Junior Eurovision. That was probably the biggest role that I've had so far. And that was simply amazing. I always love working with kids, but especially at Junior, I feel like you just get the beauty of Eurovision itself, but then even more pure emotions with the kids, but the same level of professional work ethic. So it's such an amazing production to work in, and being the one to guide the kids on stage to just make sure that they're safe, that the show keeps on running, because it's not any less... the Junior. It's just as big of a show as the big one. So that's such an amazing production to work in. So that's also probably one of my most treasured Eurovision experience that I've had so far.
In Liverpool, I know you were working hard behind the scenes supporting Austria, Armenia, Germany, Georgia as well. We fast forward then, I suppose, to the end of 2023. Which is presumably when you find out you're representing Austria. So how did the whole thing come about?
It actually also, Liverpool was an important step of this process, because I got in contact with the songwriters and the producers there. So I reached out to them. I told them, well, I'm Colleen. I'm releasing my own stuff. I do music. I dance as well. And just asked them if they wanted to do something for next year, maybe. And they were on board immediately. And then I chimed in and just told them, well, I'd like to have an upbeat, energetic, positive party song that maybe starts a little slower and then the beat kicks in. And so everyone wants to jump and just clap along. And then they wrote We Will Rave for me. And I flew to Malmö without knowing that it's actually Malmö, because that's where the producers were at the moment where we recorded the song. And it was so strange being in front of the arena without having it like planned that, okay, now I'm going to go to the arena where Eurovision is going to happen. And by that time, I did not know that I was going to be the Austrian artist singing on that very stage half a year later. So I recorded the song there. We submitted it one day later. And yeah, and that's when the deadline already was. So it was all very, very quick.
You've got an unbelievable songwriting team behind the song.
Yeah, that's true. I'm so grateful and proud to have this team around me, because yeah, they're great and they have Eurovision experience. They're known. It's just amazing to have such a great support.
So then We Will Rave comes into the spotlight, I guess. The public get their first experience of We Will Rave. Although the public kind of got their first experience of your song before they were meant to,
I guess.
So, I mean, how was that for you? Because the song did leak online and people were listening to it before the official release. So how is that for you as an artist? Because it does feel unfair for you and for the team, I guess, when you have everything so carefully planned for the release and then something like that is to happen. And we've seen it happen with other songs in the past as well.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when it was leaked, I was somewhere else in my head. Of course, I did not know that this was going to happen, but I was generally on cloud nine because I was released as an artist. So I was just finally being able to release all of that energy that I had to keep secret for 2 months in advance. So I was just, okay, yes, I'm the artist. Yes, I can finally share the good news with everyone. And then the leak happened, and the team and the Austrian broadcaster, of course, they were like, okay, what are we going to do now? This is bad and stuff like that. But I was just like, okay, but it's not a bad version. It's a demo. And people seem to like it. So okay, that's it. You can't control it, especially nowadays. Once it's out there, it's just out there and it multiplies and you can't control it anyhow. So it didn't affect me negatively at all, actually. I was proud of the demo already. So I just, I couldn't wait, of course, for the final song to be released, but it just, yeah, it supported my energy anyways. So it didn't actually matter for me. I don't know if you're even allowed to say that, because leaks are of course not supposed to happen and they were absolutely not planned, which some people also think. I feel like it was good that it happened.
In this situation, if anything, it just helped build the hype for the full release, I think, because people were responding so well to the song. Colleen, I don't want to lessen anything, because you are an incredible performer and I feel like this is really simplifying it. But is the song as fun to perform as it seems?
Yes. And I got completely caught off guard in Madrid. When I did it for the first time, I mean, it was just generally the whole Madrid experience for me was something else, because I usually never got to experience that side of the whole project. I was always the one supporting the artist and backstage, or not even going to an event like that, because I had to be in meetings and stage and direct something. So for me, it was an incredible experience to finally engage with fans, with the community, to feel that hype on a stage where everyone is screaming your song. I was not prepared for that at all. And therefore it just, I think we just multiplied each other and eventually it just exploded. And in my ears, I could not hear the song at all. I could just hear the audience shouting. And therefore, yeah, I don't know if I remember everything from those 3 minutes that happened up there, because I was somewhere else. I was really, really enjoying the moment.
And with the song, with the vibe of the song, and with your background as well, people are getting very excited about what we might see on stage in Malmö.
You
can't tell me anything, obviously, but I know you're working incredibly hard, aren't you? And I saw on your Instagram this morning, you were working hard at the gym. You're doing everything you can to get ready.
Definitely, yeah. That's my job. Like, if not all the press things and stuff like that, my job is to have this amazing performance, hopefully, on this stage. That's what I'm here for. So I really take that seriously. I try to really focus on that. So maintaining my body, my health, my vocal health, everything is really, really important for me. So I do try to go to the gym whenever I can. Of course, now that it's one day here, one day there, it's a little hard and difficult, but now I've had 2 consecutive days in the gym, which feels amazing. And of course, for the performance, because there will be a lot of dancing, I have to be in my best shape. So I do try to challenge and push myself.
And this is normally the only question I can get away with asking about the staging. I asked some of the artists last year, and some of them gave me an answer. Is there a colour that we can expect to see on stage?
Ooh, a colour. I feel like there might be three colours.
Nice. That's enough.
I don't know if you're happy with that answer yet, but yeah, we do. Our color palette is like, it's 3 to 4 colors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So if anyone is supporting We Will Rave in Malmö, they've got a lot of colors that they can put in their outfits.
Yeah, I think generally that's the beauty in Eurovision. Probably I when I think of outfits, I do think that at Eurovision you cannot be overdressed. You just put it all out there as colorful as you want. And we also do go for color. It will all make sense at the end, I promise.
Oh, well, it's all so exciting, Colleen. I know you're incredibly busy. So thank you so much for finding time to chat to us. And
hopefully
we'll catch up in Malmö as well.
Yes, let's do that. I'd love to.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Yes, a big thanks to Colleen for finding some time to chat to us. That was, of course, a couple of weeks ago. And just great to hear her side of things, isn't it? Now that she is the one who is going to be taking centre stage as that solo artist representing her country at Eurovision after doing so many other Eurovision-related things without being centre stage herself. So best of luck to her. And as I say, thanks again for her for finding some time to chat to us. Anyway, that is about it from us today and for this week. Thanks to you for the past couple of weeks for tuning in, joining me here on the Eurotrip while Rob has been away. It's been great to have your company, and it's been great to read out some of your messages as well. Keep them coming in. We always like to hear from you. We are at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can send us an email as well. hello@eurotrippodcast.com. Don't forget to head to our website as well for all of our exclusive stories. That is eurotrippodcast.com. Also, you can head over to buymeacoffee.com/eurotrippodcast if you'd like to chip in and support us and help us keep doing what we are doing. And don't forget as well to click the link in the episode description to grab yourself a free ticket to our live event that is taking place on Thursday, the 9th of May, in the Eurovision Village, in the Eurofan Cafe in Malmö. It would be great to see as many of you as possible. But we will be back with you next Wednesday for your next regular episode of the podcast. Rob will return from his honeymoon and we will just be a matter of weeks, won't we? 2 weeks away from the first live shows of Eurovision 2024. So join us next week. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review and rate us 5 stars. From me, James, it's goodbye.